Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, fans of the Cavaliers. Welcome to this week's edition of The Lockdown featuring T. Cove and the Ball Hawk. That's right. As always, Petty Hawk is constantly waiting to grab the microphone. Hawk, let's talk about UVA and Louisville. Let's give them a preview. What you see, fam?
The recap of the show was, well, not the show, but the game was 300 miles and nothing. They ran for 300 yards, took an L. And I happened to make a tweet on, you know, had a tweet. And I was like, you know, all those yards, but the most important stat was the W. And then Virginia Tech fan who, you know, Beta is one of my guys. He was like, yo, that's ironic because Louisville have over 500 yards total offense versus us, and they lost. And I was like, oh, okay. But, yeah, man, what I saw was Louisville didn't have Hawkins. They didn't have Tutu Atwell. They put the owners on Cunningham, and, you know, the couple plays he got at a tackle box, he made huge plays. Offensively, started off a little slow, so it took Noah to get us a pick six. And then we got into the groove. It was good to see the Arab there, Lavelle Davis, back. I tell you that much. Definitely fun to see him back, bro. So, overall, man, I thought it was a good win. Bend but don't break type of look. I think that's how our defense is going to have to be. Timely sacks, timely stops. It's like watching an arena football game. You don't care about yards. You just care about limiting them to three and timely turnovers. What's your thoughts, Cuh?
Yeah, I agree with you, Hawk. I mean, it was a little nerve-wracking. That first drive, you know, Louisville seemed to just be moving it, and boom, pick six. So then, you know, they seem to really be able to move the ball consistently. Virginia will put some bend, don't break stuff out there. And, you know, I had to give Malik Cunningham props because, you know, he tried to will his team to victory, nice. Bro. But we made enough plays. We made enough stops. Brennan did a good job of managing the squad. You know, you look at, you know, that game could be different for us too. If Poljan doesn't fumble right at the goal line, you know, that's, we up 14-3 at that point. So, yeah. I mean, you know, it was a lot of ebbs and flows. I think both teams made some plays. Virginia just made more. I worry about us moving forward. Our corners are struggling a little bit this year, and, you know, want them dudes to have some success. You know, just look, it's almost like I want to make a play so they can get their confidence up, because it doesn't look like they're playing with a lot of confidence right now.
What do you think? Like, not to cut you off, to keep it on the corners. What do you think can help them during the week so they can win those 50-50 throws? Because, you know, they're like, Devontae is there on the flea flicker. Unfortunately, it's underthrown, but like you said, confidence does play a role in your ability to just make a play on the ball. Like, what could they do during the week to just help them get over that hump?
Well, I think what happens sometimes with them, they get their eyes in the backfield a little bit too long. And the backpedal, you know, they open up on backpedaling. Mm-hmm. So they're not really, you know, because the longer you can stay square in a backpedal, the more ways you can move, you can come out of your breaks quicker. Yeah. I think they open the gate and they don't get their hands on guys. And, you know, I mean, both of them are good athletes, but they're not speed merchants. And you got some of these wide receivers that can just straight up, you know, running 3-3-3-4. And if you not 3-3-3-4, 3-4-3-4-4, I was like, damn, fast bitches there. you know, and if I don't run that kind of speed, I gotta create something to alleviate that speed. And that's putting these damn mitts on. Yep. You know, and if you putting the mitts on them, you're gonna even the playing field for yourself and not make it so hard. Mm-hmm. And I think right now they're just, you know, guys make a catch and, you know, they start playing a little soft and then they're hitch, quick, you know, speed out. And, you know, so I just think they have to figure out a way, man. You know, it's one of those things. I would love to be able to sit down, if they could sit down with you and I and just watch film of them. you know, so that we could kind of talk them through a little bit of the technique things. You know, they used to talk to us. They don't call us back now. So, you know, they, I guess
they quarantined for real. Didn't they quarantine cell phone calls?
They quarantined us. They isolated us all. That's what the hell they did. Hey. Which I mean, you know, at the end of the day, we just want to help them dudes, man. They are dudes, you know? Hey, and real, so, man. You know, we, if there's anybody that they can talk to and that can relate to them, it's us, yep. You know, and try to help them through this process, help them through this madness, because each and every week folks going to go on them, go at them until, you know, they shore up some things. And so at some point you got to put a stake in the ground and be like, you know what? I'm tired of this bullshit every week. So, you know, I'm either going study film, holler at my folks that I know that's been there and done that and got my best interest at hand. Mm-hmm. So I can get this shit rectified, you know, or not. Continue to get, you know, lit up every week, and that's not what we want. So, you know, hopefully, you know, they'll reach out because we want to help. And shit, bro, you know, Virginia will just keep rolling. I'm, you know, I like the momentum from these last 2 weeks and 3 weeks, because we had this the bye as we roll into Abilene Christian this week. You know, I'm hoping some younger guys get some reps, we stay healthy. Mm-hmm. And not get anything crazy happen to us, man, and continue to build and get this thing to 500.
And I guess we gotta talk about it some. I mean, if we keep it 100, we gotta at least say, how did we feel when we saw the news of Briggs transferring, like in the middle of the year?
Yeah,
I know he liked to sing, so he might really be Luther Vandross or something. So.
I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, it's just, it was shocking to see it, you know, but like I said, I'm a whole judgment until we hear from Coach Mendenhall. You know, you saw it like I saw it. So I'm a whole judgment until, Coach Mendenhall makes a comment, you know, on it. And then, you know, we'll probably delve into it as we hear more things next week.
Yeah, definitely. So the fans don't know, this is going to probably be recorded before Bronco hadn't released a statement. You know, when we recorded this, it was just breaking news. But my main thing is, you know, like the whole, you know, hold back on going in on the, like at the end of the day, it's college. Just don't know what's in the mind of a young person. You can't, man, if you knew what was in my mind back in the day. But yeah, man. So, you know, salute to you, Briggs, man. I was bragging on you this year too, because you was thumping, cat. Like you was you were playing the nose and the end, getting it in.
Doing exceptional. So, you know, not sure what's going on with it, man. Hey, hopefully maybe he'll change his mind. I don't know. I mean, I just know we need him. Mm-hmm. And you know, I mean, and who's to say, man, he may be going through some personal things. We just don't know.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, a young man's decision is a young man's decision. And so I'm hoping that things work out the best for him, whether it's with us or without us. You know, he's a part of the brotherhood. Like I said, and we'll discuss when we know more.
Yep. There you go.
So all right. So you know what? We'll get into it. That wraps up the recap of the Louisville Virginia game. And special guest this week, we have former Cavalier standout Chris Peace stepping into the show. What's good, family?
Good, C-Cub. What's good, Hawk? I appreciate y'all having me.
Oh man, hey, bro. Hey, the pleasure is all ours for sure.
Hey, yeah, man. Before we get started, Chris, we gotta lay down some ground rules. Don't be harassing me about no damn LeBron James and no Joe Burrow just yet. Okay?
You got it.
Oh, I can't wait to hear that.
Hey, for everybody that don't know, you know, me and Hawk, we definitely get in our arguments about LeBron. And,
yes, we do.
Definitely, most lately, Joe Burrow.
Nice.
He be letting me have it too. At the craziest times, it's out the blue, just be like, Hawk, and then share something. I'd be like, look at this dude right here. I'm gonna get his ass.
So, Chris, you LeBron, Hawk, you MJ. Is that what I'm gathering?
Oh, definitely. He the typical MJ fan, you know, always got to bring up the six rings right
off the bat. Whoa, no, I don't. He lumps me in. Because I always say, bro, I feel you if you feel like LeBron's the GOAT. That's, he should be. That's who he grew up watching. I grew up watching Mike. So it's a different nostalgia, you know. So I don't say no rings.
So I will
like
say
to play devil's advocate.
Yeah, yeah, I like to play. So, yeah.
So I'm gonna say it from my standpoint because I'm older than both of y'all.
There you go.
For real. You know, when it comes to the level of expectation, somebody coming in the league and exceeding those expectations, no matter how high they were, working on your craft every single year, improving mm-hmm. your game, one aspect, and elevating everybody around you, you know, and when it comes to saying he is the best player to play the game, overall player, MJ has that killer mentality. You know, he demanded a lot of those around him, and he does have the six rings. But in my estimation, you can't judge somebody like LeBron on the fact that it's, you know, he has four and MJ has six. You know, he's been to the finals 10 times straight. And, you know, people are like, oh, well, Jordan didn't, you know, he never lost the finals. There's a whole lot of times that Mike didn't make the finals. So, you know, so, I mean, you know, you can swing it both ways. But when I look at overall player, LeBron does it for me. Plain and simple. So
you might kill both of y'all ass.
Just saying. Just, you know, just wanted to get that little tidbit out there. So.
Yo, hey, yo, God damn it. Where's Michael? Michael Jeffrey, you hear this? You hear this, Mike?
No doubt, no doubt. So Chris Peace, Denby High School, 757. Oh, you just like having all these 757 dudes on this damn podcast.
Yeah, but see, you're going to learn something about Chris. It won't just Denby. He went to a lot of damn schools.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. True that. True that. So you start out at Indian River. Then you go to Warwick. Then you transferred to Denby. So okay, so yeah. Why'd you leave Indian River?
You know, honestly, a lot of people ain't know. When I was about 15, 16, just things that was going on at the house, I kind of just picked my stuff up and just moved out and left one day. Moved in with my uncle in Newport News. Yeah. And you know, that's how I ended up at Warwick High School. Spent a year, I think, there, a year and a half. Mm-hmm. Similar situation, just a lot was going on in the crib, and I had to make one more move. Denby took it up the street about 10, 15 minutes. Had to take that HRT every day to get to school, but we made it through.
Okay, then. All right. That'll work. Yeah, you got to do what you got to do.
Facts. Yeah. From Warwick to Denby, that's like ironic. That's like an ironic transfer. I will say that.
But you gotta be more specific, Hulk. I don't know what that means.
So, and it might have changed once I left, but how we perceive like Denby and Warwick, like so, Newport News is like get your mind right, school system. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like it ain't peaches mm-hmm. and it ain't all peachy keen. Mm-hmm. And like back when I was going to school, like Warwick was like Wildcats. You know, you seen the movie Wildcats, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cause that was Warwick for all the old heads.
Okay,
like,
okay.
You better pack your lunch going to school every day, going to Warwick. And then Denby was seen as like suburbs, but there ain't no damn suburbs. It changed apparently once I left. Am I right, Chris? Like, which one would you say is better as far as like safe?
You think it? Wow, that's a deep, know, that's a deep about, thought moment.
That's a definitely. A deep thought. Warwick, I will tell you, the transition from Chesapeake schools to a Newport News school, first day at Warwick, I was just like, what the hell did I get myself into? Definitely, you know, Indian River, definitely more, you know, peaches, cream, you know, and then when I went to Warwick High School, whole different environment, like you said, kind of wild. You had to grow up quick over there. Definitely, that school would eat you up and eat you alive, like, quick. Then be more the same kind of as well. But, you know, looking back as I ride by those schools, you know, I kind of just say to myself, I'm like, yo, I can't believe I actually went there.
Mm.
So definitely similar, you know, kind of like what you were saying. Aspect.
So when you were at Warwick, you were a wide receiver and a safety.
Yes, I was.
You made the transfer over to Denby, you moved to the defensive line. So that's a hell of a transition to go from wide receiver safety to defensive line. Did you hit a growth spurt? I mean, obviously you were athletic enough to play wide receiver and safety, but I mean, did you request a move to defensive line, or your body just filled out and they saw a better fit for you there? I was just saying, you know, you might want to do a little something better than that Boost Mobile internet you got there. So,
hey man, you still an internet dog? Come on, man.
Come on, fam. You ain't got the Joe hanging out the window hitting the neighbor's Joe. Nah. Like I say, we got jokes.
Hey, man, you can cuss at him if you want, Creed. You can say F him, F you, man.
Hey, just a little hiccup, you know. Probably got a little bit too many people on the system. That's all.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, I've been there. Yeah,
it's all good. It's all good, my man. What I was saying was the wide receiver and safety. You're making that transition to defensive line. Was that your decision? Did you have like a growth spurt, or I mean, obviously you were athletic enough to play wide receiver and safety. So then to move to defensive line, what was the reason behind that?
My junior year, I think I was like about 6'1", 6'2", like buck 60, buck 70, soaking wet. And everybody just kept saying I was kind of small, you know, a little slow to play receiver, especially at Division I level. So, you know, I wanted to add a little bit of weight. And, you know, that whole off season, I kind of just really grinded my ass off. I didn't want to get stuck in the Newport News box. I put on like 50 pounds of off season. Got to Denby, I was like 220. Literally woke up. I remember I used to wake up around like 4:30, go lift at the apartment gym, go to school, lift again, go to practice, literally lift when I get back, stuff my face with food every chance I get. But when I got to Denby, yeah, I still wanted to play receiver. My coach made me put my hand in the dirt. I wasn't too happy about that at first, but yeah, so I was at Hampton's camp, and I was playing receiver there. And then he was like, "Hey, we want you to put your hand in the dirt." And I wasn't too happy about that, but I ended up winning like all my reps that day, and that's kind of where defensive end started for me my senior year. From there on,
well, dude, your first game out the box, you had 4 sacks and returned a fumble 55 yards. I think your coach might have seen something mid-year. So,
definitely. Yeah, definitely. That he definitely helped change a lot of things. So,
dude, you had 20 sacks your senior year, fam.
I actually missed like 2 or 3 games.
What?
You missed 2 or 3 games and you still had, so you just made that 4 sack thing a regular occurrence.
Damn.
Kind of like I had a lot of 3 sack games. I missed like the last 2 games of the year.
How many sacks you have a homecoming?
I ain't even played my homecoming game, man. I think it was against Bethel. I was pissed. I had a high ankle sprain. Man, I'm gonna keep it a buck with you guys. I was in Spanish class. And it's ironic, all my people Spanish. I hated Spanish. I fell asleep. Teacher told the coach about it. We did some little stupid drill. I can't remember, but I ended up getting a high ankle sprain from that drill, and I had to miss homecoming and last game of the year.
Wow. Dang. Wow.
Wait a minute. So you ain't even play your quote last high school game of the year?
We went to the playoffs. We got knocked out by Heritage, but that was my last game. I ended up playing that. I was kind of limping around, but I made it.
Yeah. Damn, my man had 20 sacks, B, and missed game.
20 sacks and missed 2-3 games. Yeah.
I mean, was it particular, like, pass, like, did y'all run some type of game, or was it just all speed rush, like third down going to get you?
It was all bull rush, speed rush. I didn't have any moves in high school at all. Honestly, I didn't know what I was doing at defensive end. It was just like, just go to the quarterback and play.
Yeah. You wear neck roll?
Nah, I ain't wear that neck roll. I can't do that. I think I met a linebacker that did that. I couldn't do that shit. Nah.
Yeah. A visor?
I think I had a visor half the games.
Yeah.
My field swag was all over the place.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Yo, Chris is out there
Out there straight hunting for real. So then when it came after, you know, after that season, did you play any other sports besides football?
I played a little bit of track, but nothing crazy.
Oh, okay. What'd you do in track?
100, 200 shot put.
Okay. At 2 and some change?
Yeah.
Okay. Big boy rolling down the track.
Big body bends out there.
Big body rolling down the track. All right, player. I hear that. So then when it come down to when it came down to recruiting, you know, how did you had a lot of smaller schools recruiting you initially, correct?
I had Norfolk State, I think like Citadel, mm-hmm. A couple of D2s. I ain't get an offer. I think Norfolk State was my first offer like 2 weeks before signing day. I was starting to like fill out shipyard applications because I didn't think I was going to go to college, honestly. I won't get any attention. Norfolk State finally popped it. To be honest, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I was grateful at the time, but I did not want to go to Norfolk State and play football. Like, that wasn't what I was trying to do at all. Then Andrew Brown, that's my dog for life. He hit the coaches up at UVA, Hagans, London, showed them my tape. And, you know, they came down to Denby one day, then they offered me on the visit, and that's how I got the UVA offer.
Mm. So it was a no-brainer. You were like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and take it.
Yeah, honestly, when London first rolled through the office, I didn't know anything about UVA. I just seen ACC on his jacket, and I was like, it must be a pretty good school. So, mm-hmm. You know, that sold me off rip right there.
Right. Interesting. So then you get to campus, all right, that first year. What was your mindset? So, you know, we gonna get into Charles Snowden and his opinions of you. And he talked about you when he was on the podcast. He was one of our first podcast guests. But when you first got there, what was your take when you stepped on the scene?
That was another culture shock, coming from Newport News, living midtown, right near downtown, going all the way to UVA. That was a culture shock for me.
Right.
Definitely, you know, a lot of people around me that ain't look like me, wasn't sure what to expect. It was a lot to take in at first, but that first few weeks and days on campus, school was tough. Dealing with Tenuta, that was tough. It was just a whole bunch of things thrown at me at one time.
Yeah, bro. Did you feel like, you know, when you got there, you were like, all right, I can see myself putting in this work. You know, you weren't in awe of what you saw when you got there.
No, I was ready to rock and roll. I didn't know exactly, you know, what I was getting myself into completely as well. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought just like every recruit coming out of high school, you know, you get to your school, you think you automatically just going to be the best man on campus. Mm-hmm. You know, you think 20 sacks is going to be like that for all four seasons? Nah.
Yeah. Facts. Especially when you say you ain't had no moves. So I know once you got here, you was like, yo, this bull rush ain't working.
Well, it was funny. When I first got there, they had me playing inside linebacker.
Oh, word?
Yeah. I played inside linebacker my whole first training camp. And the first week of scout team, and after that, I think they put me at defensive end just to try, and I ain't moved since then.
How was that for you when you moved, you know, inside, since you basically were just rushing the passer a lot, not really having a whole lot of responsibility to play in the middle where you got to know where everything is?
I struggled at inside linebacker. I didn't have a good cap at all, honestly. Yeah. That wasn't home for me. It just won't natural. As soon as they moved me to defense end, I felt like right back at home. I think everybody else saw that too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So then that first year, you come in, you know, you play a little bit, then you pick up your red shirt. All right. So was it realizing like, all right, look, if I'm gonna play at this level, I gotta go hard. I gotta, you know, going flashing back to your days when You were taking a bus to school, getting up, lifting, going to school, lifting again, practice, come back, lift again, eating as much as you could. Did it take you back to those days?
I don't think that kicked in for me again until, like, honestly, that sophomore season. That red shirt in that freshman year, I kind of, I don't want to say it was kind of like discouraged, but it was just like, I don't know. Once I redshirted, I kind of like, I just didn't take it as serious as I should have, I guess you could say that. Mm-hmm. That redshirt, yeah, I'm not going to lie. I thought it was just more about like just going out, kind of like, all right, I ain't got to do nothing this year. So let me just go out as much as I can. You know, let me try to go have a good time. Then that freshman year, I mean, I was a backup. I wasn't starting yet. I think I was behind like Mike Moore, Trent Courtney. Mm-hmm. Kind of was like the same deal. Like, I didn't want to step on nobody's toes. I actually started one game, but I don't think I was ready yet. I was more so like, you know, I don't want to step on nobody's toes. You know, I'm just kind of like, you know, come in, help when I can, and let them do their thing. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until that Mendenhall staff came where I just changed my whole mindset. Like, yo, you got an opportunity, you know, to do something special here. But like, are you going to take advantage of it? And that's when I started transitioning back into that. All right, let me try to eat a little bit better. Let me try to lift harder. Let me try to run a little bit more, get in shape. Mm-hmm.
That's. I mean, okay. I like that you shared. Like a lot of people think, like every player that red shirt is going to be like totally disciplined. Like I'm gonna work on my craft. I'm gonna take this year to get stronger. But the truth is, some dudes, hey man, I ain't playing. And I don't have to get ready to play. I'm about to go out here and live it up, you know? I'm about to dance on these girls. I mean, I'm going to do my work, of course. You don't want to get kicked out. But that's the other side that nobody really talk about, is how being a red shirt can be difficult in the sense that when you know you're not playing, you know you don't have a game, how do you approach each week? You feel what I'm saying? So I'm glad you shared that, because a lot of times, man, it's that misconception that everybody's just, oh, working hard, lifting weights and getting better and learning from everybody. Everybody don't do that.
Right, right. Yeah, because, I mean, you know, that 15 year you guys went 4-8, and I do believe that was Coach London's last year. And so when Coach Mendenhall came in that following year, what was that transition like for you guys? I mean, it's, you know, totally different staff, you know, coming from, you know, no, not really any familiarity with them. What was the thinking then?
When they first came in, honestly, I thought these dudes was crazy. They had us out there. It was like 2 degrees, icicles on the goalposts. We out there, no sleeves, no gloves, winter workouts. Like, it was a rude awakening with that staff, with Wintrick, the strength and conditioning coach. Dude, they had this test. What was it called? It was the conditioning test before you even play spring ball. Literally, I would say maybe it was only a handful of guys that passed it on their first try. Everybody was failing it. Yo, like, they really, they stripped us back, like, you know, bare bone, like, took us to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
They started holding us accountable and want no more, you know, kind of missing class, doing whatever you wanted. You know, stuff won't get swept under the rug. Like everything was getting, you know, every accountability was a word I say for them when they first came.
Mm-hmm. So it was definitely a time for a culture shift.
Oh, for sure. For sure. They, I think we had a lot of guys transfer out or get kicked out that first semester. They weeded out Kansas real quick.
So you didn't have no issue with guys transferring. You understood why some guys are transferring.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
Thanks.
Because it ain't for everybody. Mm. It ain't for everybody.
Nah, for what we was trying to do, nah, we had to empty the ship out a little bit. You know, no disrespect to those guys, but like I said, for the direction we was going, they, you know, those guys are a better fit for, you know, maybe other teams, but not for the program we had going at the time.
Right. Right. So then you guys put in a lot of that work. It was will before skill. And then you guys come out and shit the bed 2-10. Bro, what was your mentality like then?
It's a great question, cuz.
It was That was the first time I really started and actually played them whole games. I was getting my ass knocked in the mouth, and I was just like, yo, this shit is real. You know, these grown men out here. And, you know, it's actually us. We actually playing now. Like, it's, I think, you know, we put in the work, like you said, but hard work don't always equate to, you know, success. Mm-hmm. You have a better chance, but it does definitely doesn't equate to success. But that first year, I think we just still, I think confidence was lacking with a lot of us. We were so used to just losing, you know, 2-10, 4-8. You know, I don't think we thought it was really possible yet. Confidence killed us. And I would just say a lack of experience killed us. You had a lot of guys out there playing for the first time in their lives for real college football.
Yeah, how was it like for just the pulse of the squad? Because as you said, man, you putting in all that hard work, you weeding out a lot of guys that didn't want to hold themselves accountable. You ain't getting your issue gear into damn near class to start. So that's a great feeling. You finally get something with Virginia, you know, on your chest instead of just a plain white t-shirt. But you know, you put in all that work. You believe in everything Bronco and his staff is saying, but the end result isn't what you're looking for. Is there any like doubt, like, man, it's a waste of goddamn time? Or did everybody just understand, like you said, like, we young, I know I'm getting my ass whooped personally, I just gotta continue to fight through this? Like, what was the pulse of the team, man?
That season, I would say we weeded out even more people, because you had people like that. I was like, you know, we doing all this shit for no reason, you know, it's a waste of time. You know, this ain't for me. More people left. And then you had a lot of guys on the separate end that was kind of like, yo, like, I know exactly what I need to do now. Like, I'm glad we went through that, you know. We experienced that. Let's get that bad taste out our window. Let's go ready for round two now. Let's go to next year. That was kind of our mindset for the guys that ended up staying. And that's when, you know, we kind of started that, you know, new standard. You know, we tired of that losing. None of that shit. That shit's out the window. Done. Mm-hmm. No more skipping reps, you know. If we got to sacrifice another night or two, let's go ahead and sacrifice it. But whatever we got to do, we got to turn the ship around. That was kind of mindset, you know, going to that second year of Mendenhall.
So I mean, standing really, me, fuck all that losing. That's my one F word for the episode.
Right, right.
Basically, that's a new, that's definitely.
Right, right. Well, I mean, and the thing is, you know, even in that 2-10 season, though, You started to come into your own. I know you say you took some lumps, but yo, you were third in the team with 6.5 tackles for loss. You were third in the team with 2 sacks, fifth on the team with 53 tackles. So you may have been taking your lumps, but you was actually starting to make plays too. And so when you roll into 2017 with that mentality, like, yeah, what, you know, we gonna do whatever, we're creating a new standard. And rumor has it, it was you that were kind of the that was kind of your brainchild, that whole new standard piece. Am I right?
Yeah, it started just one morning, kind of just giving a speech to the team. It really started with just the word standard. And then I was like, nah, let's scratch that, you know, just something new right here, you know, forget the past, what we did 14, 15, 16. You know, starting 2017, it's just a new thing we got going with the team, new standard, new everything. We'll do shit the same like we did before. You went out.
So a lot of difference in things from the previous year. I mean, you could see that there was a shift in culture. You know, you could see those things. You know, some of the transfers that came in, like Kurt Binkert. You know, you played a couple years with Kurt. You know, you saw that new system, and then Bryce Perkins comes in at 2017, and you guys really started to evolve. And I mean, and for us, it was great to see. We saw guys starting to really develop, you know, really working on their craft. We saw the improvement, both individually and collectively. And your 17 year, I mean, dude, that was your first bowl game, you know, that you guys were able to ascend to. You know, you finished number 5 in the ACC with 7.5 sacks. You know, you had the most by any linebacker in the ACC, and so you had another strong season that ultimately culminated in that Military Bowl. How was that? How was that sense of satisfaction to be able to get to, you know, where you've come from, to go from that 2-10 to, you know, to move forward a little bit each year, and then getting to that 6-6, getting to that bowl game? You know, what was that feeling like, being able to feel like that you guys had really turned the corner?
It was gratifying, because this time, you know, actually, you know, we worked hard and actually paid off. But at the same time, it left me wanting so much more, because even though we did go to a bowl game, we still finished below 500. I wasn't happy with that, just like a lot of guys weren't. And, you know, we got to a bowl game, but, you know, we got kicked in the mouth. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the game at all.
Yeah.
Right. Joe Reed popped it off with a touchdown, and then after that, you know, it wasn't a game. So going into that next year, we wanted to take even a bigger step.
Mm-hmm. And why do you think y'all got your ass drugged in that Military Bowl?
I'm not even going to lie to you. That first bowl game, I kind of enjoyed the bowl game more than, I mean, the actual ceremony going up there to D.C., but I did the actual game. I think a lot of guys did. A lot of guys, you know, we just enjoyed ourselves in D.C. We were happy to be there, put it that way.
Right, right. And
I've been there before.
I get it. You know, I mean, we used to go to bowl games all the time. So
Illinois beat the hell out of me my third year down there in goddamn Fort Lauderdale, because I was having a good old time and they beat the hell out of us. MicronPC.combo.
Oh, trust me. I got my ass drugged and some of your cup. You know, where I was 1-2 in them damn bowl games too. So I can't,
I'm
you know.
For three.
1-2 for real.
Hey,
for
went
real.
To the Peach Bowl that year and we barely lost to Georgia. And after that, them other bowls, I ain't care nothing about them janks. I just wanted my gifts, and I wanted a party. I ain't even going to lie to you, fans.
That's exactly how it was that first bowl game. We got that PlayStation. I was hype about that. And, D.C. is a fun place.
PlayStation. Yeah.
Interesting. So then, you know, your last year, 2018, this is the year that Bryce came. I misspoke earlier. I was thinking we were talking about that year. So this was the year that Bryce came on board. How did you feel when you initially met him?
I'm not gonna lie, when I first met Bryce and going through that spring, I mean, I like the guy, but I wasn't sure how good he was gonna be. You know, everybody that was there, you know, that spring, I think it was kind of like, you know, okay, he can run, he looks okay. And I was still, I'm not gonna lie, I was kind of nervous about the season, because we never seen him in live bullets. The way he worked, you know, showed up every single day, you know, grinded his ass off, did everything right, never was on the books, never was in trouble. He deserved everything that came his way that season. He really, he definitely. Go ahead.
Speaking of work, you know, that's one of the things that Coach Mendenhall said about you, that you were by far the hardest worker that he has been around on the defensive side of the ball.
And Snowden.
You know, and Charles Snowden was just like, you know, you took him under your wing and he was just like, you know, he looked at you like a big brother, you know, but he saw your work. He saw, you know, and I think that sometimes you don't always have to be a vocal leader, because initially that wasn't who you were. You were kind of, I lay back in the cut and just do what I do. And then you became more of a vocal leader because you saw an absence of leadership, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you being able to identify that, bro, kudos to you, for real. Because, you know, everybody, you know, sometimes they're reluctant to lead, you know? So for you to be able to step to the forefront and be like, yeah, you know what? I'm not going down like this. Somebody got to say something, might as well be me. And you led, so not only did you use your voice, but you also did it in your actions. And I think a lot of people witnessed that, and it was something that people wanted to mimic in their work, you know, and you held people accountable. And that speaks volumes about your leadership. Like I said, you know, Coach Mendenhall was just, he was just gushing over just your work ethic, and he just never seen someone work so hard at their craft
on the defensive side. So, I mean, I think, you know, once again, kudos to you. And then it showed in the results on the field for that 2018 season. Once again, you led ACC linebackers with 7.5 sacks, you know, and so you out there doing the damn thing. And shit, I mean, bro, that's impressive. That's impressive.
To go off that, man, when it comes to hard work, I'm going to just be real. And I ain't, you know, I'm not 6'5". I ain't 280. I can't run no 4.4, 4.3 or none of that. So mm-hmm. I knew me. Like, I wouldn't say I had that guy gifted, you know, natural athletic ability. So I know I had to do all the rest of, you know, I had to work just as hard as, like, the next person just mm-hmm. to be just as good as everybody else. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where all the hard work came from.
Did you got your braces off that before that season too?
I got my braces off, I think, the last, right before we went to the Boke Bowl.
Oh, so it didn't come off. I thought you got them off like right before that season.
Nah, I got that off, I think, right after the Tech game.
Okay, I was going to say, that's why you was more vocal, because you ain't had your braces no more. But damn,
I was like, I knew something was coming.
He know how I am with him. So that's why he was like, what are you doing with this?
I was like, this is a setup.
Hey, but hold up, Cub. It's a story you don't know about, dog. So Chris Ass did a pose, the ACC kickoff, whatever it is. Then you and Olamide that went that year?
They
got his ass. They say, hey, Chris, come on, take some pictures. Then, hey, do a pose. And he did some pose. It was like an inside joke the whole year. But if anybody want to see what the pose is, all they got to do is just type in Chris Peace and Belk Bowl, because he did it on the stage at the Belk Bowl.
No.
Matter of fact, I might send y'all, because I got it as a cover art when he came on my show, and I did a one-on-one with him. And I use that as a cover art, but dog, every time he did something, they always did that pose to him. I was like, yo, why they keep doing that to him? And I finally learned the story behind. You want to share the story though with him, man? Can you get a fans the story behind that pose?
Man, honestly, he just said, look intense, you know. I'm in this tight ass suit. So, like, you know, I tried to flex, but I couldn't really get out there like that. So it came out a little awkward. I know Perk, he gave me a hard time with that every time, man.
That's who it was. Perk, the one that told me, he said, hey, OG, yeah. OG. Go ask Chris about this pose. And he did. I was like, yo, what the hell are you doing? It's like, that's like a bird pose. He was like, man, just ask Chris about it one day. Don't do it now. Locked in. It was like after the game. But if you see it, though, it's funny if you know him. That's why it's funny, because Chris don't do nothing like that. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
He's semi-perfectionist if you really get around him. If you see him in his videos on Instagram, like, it's a lot of takes to get that one perfect video that they post. I know.
Like that. Okay. That's how we doing it then. That's how we doing it.
Yo, he's a perfectionist.
I know y'all two be going at it.
Oh, he be killing me though, bro. Like, people, like, I will give him that. He kills me. Bryce is saying believe it or not, both Bryces. Bright people don't know Bryce Hall is funny too. Of course, they expect Bryce
Hall is funny, man.
But his ass, I get like random DMs from him. It could be like 1 a.m. It's just like a video though. It's no words under it. It's no caption. I know what he's talking about though. It's just like, oh, LeBron James, his top 25 plays doing this. I'm like, this mother sucker, I'm gonna get him.
Wow. Y'all crazy.
Be telling me, so, man, he just be, you know, he always got a post, you know, just a little, like I said, playing devil advocate on Facebook, Instagram, little post. He know what he's doing.
Yeah, because right. Old heads chill on Facebook. See, I know the young boys don't look at Facebook that much, so that's why I operate there. But then he appears sometimes like, yo, what you doing on this platform? It's for the old heads.
Damn. Oh, so let me ask you this question. So going from John Tenuta as your defensive coordinator to Nick Howell and Coach Papinga, how was Keep it a buck.
Tenuta, that's a different style of coaching. I wasn't a big fan of Sanu's style of coaching because it was kind of like don't speak unless you're like spoken to until you like deserve that credit, you know. Yeah. Oh man, that was wild playing on Sanu. Freshmen couldn't talk. I don't think he really liked freshmen, to be honest. Dude, he's gonna tell you, he's gonna keep it a bean and then more. Hurt your feelings a little bit. Some people could take it, some people couldn't. You know, playing under him, I didn't have a problem taking it. Obviously, I think if anything, it just made me that much tougher. But going to Howell and Papinga, I think that was a lot more, you know, beneficial for not only me, but a lot of guys around the locker room. Howell and Papinga, don't get me wrong, they have their crazy moments too, but I think there's more, you know, pros with it. They're actually going to teach you. They're actually going to learn. I think the difference when I was on the Tenuta, I think I was scared to actually ask a question at the time. seriously. Under Howell, Papinga, you know, anytime I had a question, I can go there and ask. They stay back extra with you. They actually, that's the first time I felt, you know, these coaches actually care about you more than just being on the field.
That's good. I got to ask you
a question, though, to keep with the Tenuta theme. Knowing how close you are with AB, Andrew Brown, did it make you feel some type of way towards him knowing that they had their rift?
Oh, definitely. You know, that's my boy. I ain't appreciate definitely my bad. I got this dial up into this service, but anyways. Yeah, the way I seen it with honestly, I mean, every time we just laugh about it now, you know, it's funny going back. I'm not gonna tell you the nickname he used to give AB, but you know, when I seen all that go down happen, I definitely ain't appreciate it, you know, especially towards the way he was treating like some players. I would say I'm one of those players. I don't think I got the worst of it compared to others, but yeah, definitely changed my perspective on like, you know, how he did things. But you know, it was that what could I do at the time, honestly.
Yeah, nah. I'm just trying to say you can do it, but I just know like y'all real close, and I know when you real close to somebody, you said Coach Rodden, your boy, because you're not like just a me too dude. So if AB doing something wrong, I ain't saying you'll just back him anyway. But knowing my conversations with AB, and then we'll probably have him on also, so we ain't got to just speculate anything. But I just know how it is when you got mad love for somebody, you grew up with them, and then when you see like an adult, he has a riff with him, how that can have you like, damn, dog, like, chill. Get my boy a break. But like you said, you're a freshman, so it's like, I can't see nothing.
Yeah, most definitely, though. Nah, all I did is just try to keep him positive, you know.
Yeah, man, that's my dude, man. He was going through it, and it was hard, man. So it was, you know, I just wanted to keep him lifted.
I use a couple of his beats too, man. He makes some dope beats.
Man, hey, don't boost his head like that. He ain't gonna stop talking about it.
Can you rap, Chris?
Definitely can't rap.
My man, two things that black athletes always lie about. They lie that they can play basketball, and they lie that they can rap. Chris honestly said, I can't rap.
I can't rap, but I can play defense. You know, I guess that's what guys that can't play basketball say, but
See, cuz, that's why this is my guy. He don't pull no punches, man.
No doubt.
You know what I'm saying?
No doubt.
Everybody up here was lying, Chris, talking about they good in basketball.
Yeah, They got hoop game. Everybody swear they got hoop game.
Anybody say they can do a little something, they mean trash. They can do a little something.
So, you know what? DJ kept it a full bean, though.
Yeah, he did.
He did. Yeah. So, you finished that senior year, 65 tackles, 11.5 for loss. As I said, you led all ACC linebackers with 7.5 sacks, third team, all ACC. What were your feelings about your prospects for taking it to the next level?
Honestly, to be honest, I was kind of disappointed in myself my senior year. I'm going to keep it a bean. I think I was more concentrated. I think I was looking ahead at times more than I was, you know, focusing at the task at hand. And it was so hard because you know, just call it like it is. You know, you're waiting your whole life, you know, since you was a little kid, at least for me, you know, NFL, you know, NFL, NFL, NFL. And then you finally work up to get to that opportunity, and it's right there in front of you. And I can literally see the light at the end of the tunnel. Going into my senior year, every week I'm worried about, all right, you know, how good am I? I got to play good. I got to do this. I got to get, you know, higher up on the draft boards. And that was in the back of my mind my whole senior year. If I could, I honestly wish I could go back, and I would have probably just, you know, probably turned off my phone, you know, kind of like stop talking to the agent, stop doing all that, just literally focus at the task at hand. So I felt like, I'm not making no excuses, but I definitely feel like I could have did a lot better my senior year. I think I was more worried about, you know, what was ahead.
Yeah. We like to say control the controllables. And that's one of the things that you can't control. You can control Saturdays, you know what I'm saying? And what you do and how you produce. But yeah, man, that whole NFL thing is just, man, I mean, that's one of those things. Just go out there and enjoy playing ball. You know, all that other stuff going to take care of itself. And I'm sure Hawk would agree with me on that, because, you know, that NFL piece is so fickle. You know, a lot of guys that can play don't get an opportunity. You know what I'm saying? A lot of guys go to college, you know, putting the NFL as their sole aim, and, you know, don't even make it, bro. You know, I mean, it's hard. It's hard to make it. It's limited opportunities on a team. And so the thing for me, college football and college in general was the time of my life, you know, because I just enjoy playing football with my dudes every single week. The fact that I got a chance to play in the NFL, man, that was just gravy, because I it's not something that I was gearing towards. It was, let me get this degree from this good university, this great university, and, you know, we're about getting a job when it was over. And by having that kind of mentality and just being about the work, you know, the opportunity presented itself. So I stepped into it, you know, and got to do it for 5 years, you know, and that was a blessing. That I wanted to be over after that? Hell no. But, you know, you like, once again, some things that you just not in control of. You control three things, Chris: your effort, your attitude, and your output. You know, anything outside of that, bro, it's just futile, and it'll drive you crazy. You know, it will drive you crazy. So then after you finished that, all right, feeling like, damn, maybe in hindsight, I could have done it different. But it was a reason. Everything happens for a reason. You know what I'm saying? The stars align when it's supposed to, ultimately. And so draft day comes, you don't hear your name, but then you immediately get a call from the LA Chargers. You know, explain how that whole scenario went down?
Like you said, obviously I ain't get my name called that day, but kind of like midway, like the seventh round came, like my agent was already working that out with the Chargers, like, hey, you know, you'll have a home like as soon as the draft is, in case you don't hear your name. And honestly, I was, like I said, grateful, but I was definitely, I had the biggest chip on my shoulder. I was pissed. You know, got the deal, signed it, and I think as soon, you know, I had my little self-pity for like the rest of the night, but that next day I think I was on it, like I was ready to get to camp, you know. Show that where I actually belonged on the team.
How long before you flew out there after the draft? Did you have like a mini camp or anything?
Yeah, we had a mini camp a week after. Okay. Yeah, week after. And then you really, three straight days of practice, got right to it.
Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts when you, you know, touched down and you finally get out there, you're the NFL, you know, mini camp, you know, you're getting tutelage from professional coaches now, like, what was your vibe or your takeaway from that?
They knew what they was talking about, at least the ones in LA did. You know, I respected the coaches. They put me on game with a lot of things, and I felt like I was a learning, got a higher, like, value way quicker when I got to the league, especially during those OTA practices. Learning behind guys like Joey, you know, Melvin Ingram, definitely accelerated like my IQ. Joey, he's a workhorse too. He's a technician. Never seen anybody with hands like his. Literally, he's winning every single one-on-one. It's almost like this dude. It's almost like this dude knows, like, I don't know, jiu-jitsu, you know, karate. Like, his handwork is just like that fine tuned. Melvin, I looked at him a little bit more because I felt like we had a little bit similar body types. He's more savvy, smooth. Footwork is pretty clean. But Joey, as far as the hands, dude, his hands is unreal.
Did you ever have a vet tell you to slow down, Rook? You're going too hard, because they like to do that.
Yeah, I had that a few times. Just a little bit. I think they like that out there in LA, but it's been once or twice where I got that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. So you were there, made it through training camps, debuted against the Indianapolis Colts in a season opener. And then, you know, that following week, you know, were waived. They re-signed you. Did they re-sign you to the P squad?
My bad, Tico, breaking up again.
No worries. I was saying that they, you know, you made it through camp. Made your debut against the Indianapolis Colts. They waived you the following week, but re-signed you. Did they re-sign you to the practice squad, or what was that next little step like for you?
Yeah, I think I went. You said the following week. What?
Yeah, so the following week after.
The following week. What happened?
They waived you, then re-signed you. Did they re-sign you to the practice squad, or kind of explain what the next couple of steps were like for you?
The following week. So with the Chargers, they try to do this little, I don't know, kind of like roster move under the table. So they will waive me. We had an injury situation at the receiver room. So they'll waive me before the game and sign me back literally right the next day. They did that week two. Everything was cool, you know, week three. And then week four, they did the same thing again. But this time, before you resign, all other 32 teams have a chance to claim you. And that's how I got to the Giants. The Giants ended up claiming me week four. And you go straight to active roster. And so literally, that was definitely a crazy turn of events. I think it was the Dolphins where they did that. They waived me before the game. You know, I'm ready to sign back the next day. And then as I'm going to go sign, agent tells me, hey, you got to take a plane to the New York Giants. They just claimed you.
Coast to coast.
And then a few days later, you're playing.
Coast to coast.
And coast to coast.
Dang. Hey, wow. Hey, Chris, I got to ask you a question, man, because, you know, I asked the in-depth questions. You ain't know what was coming. Tell me about that Geno Smith sack, man. Did you hear the audio when you sacked Geno Smith? You know about that video?
Oh, yeah, that was you talking, what you mean? Which one?
When the dude said, and he gets Geno Smith got dick.
Hey, what? I didn't know what.
When he sacked Geno Smith, man, I might pull it up, man. And play the audio.
That
told
me that was a. Yeah, yeah.
That's funny.
You know who let me hear it first was Dave. Dave was like, "Look at this guy. He made it. He just made the biggest mistake." Hawk, listen to this. Like Geno Smith gets dicked by Chris Peace.
Wow, what was he thinking?
Oh no, man! He forgot he was live.
Yeah, so many people send that to me, yo. I had a nice little laugh that week over that.
Yeah,
that's funny.
I may try to find it.
So yeah, you played in 5 games that year, one with the Chargers and 4 with the Giants. Then they placed you on season ending injured reserve. What happened?
I had a little minor knee injury. At first, it was going to scope my knee, but it was decided, you know, I ain't need all that. And I healed up pretty quick. So, basically my whole rookie year, I would say for majority of the games, I was just inactive, played in those 5. And I think I missed the last 2, IR.
Okay. So then the 2020 in August, I mean, it made it hard that there were no off-season OTAs and, you know, being able to be with the team and work. So then they, you know, August 2020, they waived you. Then you had a tryout with the Tennessee Titans. And that kind of brings us to the present.
Yeah, I had a trial with the Jets a week ago too. I felt like did great that workout. They just went with the bigger guy. The August release. So when it happened, they wanted to cut. You know, usually it's 90 guys all the way through, you know, that first game, and then they make all the cuts. Back in August, right before training camp began, they cut 90 to 80. And I happened to be one of those 10 when that happened. Tennessee, same thing. Good workout. You know, they took me, get my physical, thought everything went well. But they just ended up never calling back after. They just kind of just put me on hold. Nothing ever happened. And same thing. Jets, good workout. Went with the bigger guy.
Yeah. And
I'm just right now.
Just training now?
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely in shape. I'm definitely hey, I don't know when it's going to happen, but when it pop, I'm definitely, you know, I definitely got a few things I'm ready for people to see.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, yeah, like they say, stay ready so you ain't got to get ready.
Facts.
Yeah, for sure. So one thing wanted to holler at you about, what was your major at Virginia?
American Studies.
I remember you and I having conversations because, you know, we used to talk about life after sport. That was one of the things that me and you used to politic on. And, you know, I'm like, hey, you know, what do you think you want to do after this? And I remember, you know, you hollered at Andrew, you know, and then it was, let me get back to UT Cove. Let me think about that. And, you know, I would be like, all right, so what you come up with? You know, you're like, I think I know what I want to do. But we, you know, and I remember asking you, American Studies, what you plan to do with that? And is that something that you chose or did you have limited options? And I think, you know, you were like, yeah, it didn't have a lot of options. Can you kind of speak to what that was like?
So coming in, I don't know how it is now because it's a whole different group of academic advisors. But coming in when I came in back in 2014 summer, from what I remember, kind of like the list of majors pretty small. You know, it's pretty typical. I feel like all colleges, you know, you're not going to have time, you know, to do this workload, you know, this major while playing football. You know, let's keep it being. You're on scholarship. You're there to play football. You know, don't get me wrong. You got to do school, but hey, let's just be real. You're there to play football. The list is kind of slim. I don't know how it is now, but at the time, I think I picked sociology and I'm changing it to American Studies. And back younger self, you know, not thinking long term, bigger picture, I kind of was like, why not just do American Studies? That's the kind of easiest major out the little bunch right now. Get focused like completely more on football. To go back to your point, you know, we had some conversations back when I was like 19, 20, what I wanted to do at the time. I didn't know. Honestly, I was still all about football, to be honest. As I'm sure a lot of guys at that age in the program right now are too. For young guys, you know, you always want to give them advice, you know, after you've been through it, you know, I wish I could go back. But honestly, if I was some of the young guys and I see some of them do it, get more hobbies, be more than just a football player, you know, explore a little bit, you know, through the college a little bit, get some friends outside of football, you know, learn who you are, you know, learn what you really like to do. Cause like you said, as you know, you two both know, y'all said the best, you know, you can't play this forever. You're not going to play forever.
That's a fact.
And yeah. I feel like what I've been doing with this downtime for the last few months, I've been learning more about myself, spending more time with my family, spending more time getting to know me better. You know, what do I actually like to do and what do I want to do? So
father too, right?
One thing I am happy about these last, yeah, I'm a father, kid about to turn one actually. One thing I am proud of that I have been doing with all the spare time, I'm almost about to get my real estate license. I have a few more chapters left and I'm gonna take the test. So something I've just been playing with.
Good stuff. And I think, Chris, that's all I wanted you to do. The things that you now understand, you know, wanting to, because I lived it, you know, and the lived experience is the way that I can be able to try to come back and try to impart a little bit of wisdom into you guys. Because, you know, when I think back to myself, all I can do is use my experiences and say, all right, hey, when I'm asking you, hey, what do you think you want to do? I don't expect you to know. But what I want to do is get the wheels turning, you know, so that you start thinking about it. You know, a lot of guys will say, Cov, well, hey, I really want to work with kids. I want to get into coaching. Or, hey, you know, like, you know, I want to do beats. You know, I want to get into music. I want to, you know, and I'm like, okay, well, let me look into my network and see who I got that can put you on. Or while you're hot and you're playing this game, get to know folks around you. And I think you hit it. Knowing people, get to know other people, because you are way more than football. And I think you started to realize that. But you just, you know, you were still, that mindset was like, I'm still all about ball. And for me, it's trying to get you guys to understand that you can still be all about ball, but understand that you're not going to play that shit forever. And so you got to make room for something else, you know, and start figuring out. And sometimes you get so caught up in the day to day of trying to make it, trying to do this, that you don't get the moment to just sit back and breathe like you're doing now. You know, you get in the moment to breathe and you're like, okay, hey, I'm getting to know me a little bit more. Now I can talk a little bit more knowledgeably about what the things that I want to do. And what I would ask you is, you have a son. So what do you tell your son if he wants to get into sports, he starts playing, and the conversation that I was trying to have with you, what would you tell him?
I would just, man, that's hard, man, because I'm definitely a firm believer. You can talk all you want to another person, but at the end of the day, they got to make that decision. But I guess
true.
The thing I would try to just push him more, I would just emphasize on, I would definitely just kind of just emphasize, like, you, man, you got to know, you got to do more things outside this game.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot just literally just go to practice every day and, you know, go right back home, go right back to your dorm room. You know, you got to get out a little bit more. And I don't mean get out by going to the bar or club. I mean, like, get out and explore.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And if you tell him that, he will benefit, man. He will. You know, and now you have an experience that you can share with your son, and you can share with the youngsters that's coming through. They can be like, yo, what else you thinking about getting into? You know, and you start talking about, hey, this is how I viewed it. And they'll listen to you, because then you look at it like, when you start breaking it down to folks, man, and you, like, you know, you tell these dudes, look, I know you want to make it to the league, but if it's 10 of us in this room, one of us gonna make it. And they start looking around saying, damn, one of us? I wonder if that's me. What if it's not me? You know, when you start talking about the average career that you have, 3.5 years, you're 27 years old. It's a whole lot of life left. What are you going to do with the rest of that? You know, and everybody doesn't have that Super Bowl play 10, 15 years and ride off into the sunset story. And so it is, the onus is upon us who have these shared experiences. Hawk has an experience that he can share with young folks that's coming through, that's powerful. I have that a story that's different from Hawk, but similar at the same time. You have a story now. You're still writing yours because you're still in it. But just also to remember, I will say this to you, as you climb, make sure you lifting these young boys up, all right? And you teaching them a different way, because you'll teach your son a different way, because you understand that the business side of NFL, the business side of professional sports is ugly. It's ugly and it's not permanent. If you get an opportunity, it's awesome. That's just gravy. But you build it. You use the sport to get where you want. I used football to pay for college.
100%.
You know, I got a chance to play in the NFL, do some things for my family at a young age. Shit, I still wanted to play more, but it was time for me to do something else. God had another plan. So, you know, that's what we got to impart upon these young dudes, man. You got to impart upon your son, Smoke with his son. you know, and on and on and on, because that's how we break the cycle. You know, that's how we teach our youngsters to build wealth,
100%.
Teach them about entrepreneurship and different things like that, man. We can make a significant difference in their lives through our experiences. And let me get off my soapbox, but you know, those are the kind of things that I always want to tell you guys, man.
Black,
you
know, Jesus in the building. Black Jesus is in the building, ladies and gentlemen. We cannot go one episode without the great Black Jesus dropping jewels from the gospel or Tony Covington, the book of I Am Underdog. Let's go. Hey, no, man, but real talk, peace, like what Cov is telling you is, you know, it's real, man. And a lot of times we live in a bubble as athletes, man. Like we call spoiled, like, because in a sense we are, because we got this routine and we so focused on, like, from the inner city, I got to get out the trap. I'm going to play football. I'm in college now, but yo, I'm going to play football because that's all we know. Like, we figure that's the only trade that we know. Like, football is essentially a trade. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't need a degree to be successful in football. So it's, in a sense, a trade that you're working on every day. But we feel like I'm cheating my trade if I try to branch off and, like you say, learn about real estate, or I want to learn about numbers and stocks and Wall Street, or I want to be an author, or I want to do this and that. And a lot of times, man, the game, like the Lord will force us to learn about something by sitting us down. Like, I got cut and I had to sit down, similar to, you know, the situation you going in and you talking about, you know, real estate. So I think you're doing the right thing by taking advantage of the opportunity. You feel what I'm saying? Because like you say, you'll be amazed, bro, that once you finish these chapters and you take that test, you pass that test, just watch how that phone start ringing a little different with those opportunities from football, because it don't hold dominion over you no more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hawk, I always appreciate when you tell these dudes, man, you know, when it don't hold dominion no more. Okay.
Yeah, as long as you can hear, you fine.
Yeah, when you tell them that when the sport no longer has its power over you, mm-hmm. you know, or you that perceived power that you give it.
Yeah,
man, it really does become fun, and doors open up for you tremendously. So I always kudos, bro. And it's amazing, bro. I use some of the quotes that you say, man, you know, because they're so impactful and so powerful, you know, that I use them and continue to share. I mean, what's the sense of having a good quote and dropping, you know, you dropping knowledge on me and then I'm not sharing it? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So
vice versa, but it's like he said, Chris, can you still hear us?
Yeah, I can still hear you.
So it's like Chris said, so before Norfolk State came in, Norfolk State did jump in. Where we from? If you don't quote unquote make it out, you go to the shipyard. You know, you might go to apprentice school, you might play for their team, and they essentially, you know, pay you to learn their trade. And you work at the shipyard, and a lot of my family worked the third shift. You know, they work from 3 p.m. No, that's not the third shift. They work from 3 p.m. to 1 p.m. and that horn will go off. But a lot of my family, I still have 2 uncles that work at the shipyard, but that's all we knew was if you was going to do anything, you was going to work at that shipyard. So the fact that he said that just took me back. You know what I'm saying? And I'm pretty sure, because transparency, when Marcus Vick got in his trouble, guess what he started working at? The shipyard. He went home because his brother, you know, Mike had got in his trouble. He had to go work at the shipyard. That's all we know from where we mm-hmm. come from.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, shipbuilding.
That's powerful, bro. That's powerful. Mm. Whew. So Chris, tell me about that little young man who's about to turn 1.
Yeah.
It's a full-time job, man.
No question.
He's a handful, no man. Question. He's a handful. No
question. Yeah.
It ain't never a dull moment with him at all. I'm about to say, in fact, I could hear him a few times during the show scream out a little bit downstairs.
So, you know, as soon as this is over with, it's going to be, here.
Oh, yeah. I already know.
Yeah. Well, at least you know.
Back to me.
Oh, yeah. Okay, at least you know. At least you know it's about to go down. So.
Yeah. That's a beautiful thing, man. It's a beautiful thing. Man. Hey, yo, man, who did your tattoos, though, dog? Them tattoos you got is clean.
You talking about the hood garage ones, or you talking about the new ones?
No, the one that's on your forearm. Yeah. Don't you got like the joint on your forearm?
Yeah. So I got that down in New York, New Jersey, when I was over there with the Giants.
Yeah, that joint right there, clean. How long that take?
8 hours a piece.
Ooh.
For all four of them. So I'm definitely probably about 30 hours of work.
Mm. Wow. Wow.
Damn, fam. It was, damn. Hey, it looked like it's, I mean, but it, yo, it's dope, cuz. That joint is, I mean, I was just like, yo.
I'm going to have to beat that joint.
Yeah. Do you, when you work out, are you going over to Mount Trashmore stuff working out?
I know what we're getting him for Christmas.
I know. Tell me, get him a hot spot.
Yeah, hot spot, internet, something. Yeah. Hey, not internet, internet.
Yeah, we're gonna get them internet.
Some internet. Right, I'm gonna get going there tomorrow. Not my trash more specifically, but the Sportsplex.
Oh yeah,
I can hear you.
Do you work out with Scott?
Y'all got me.
Yeah,
we got you. All delayed.
Yeah, he can hear the jokes now.
He can hear the jokes. Joker got rabbit ears for the internet.
That's all he can do is laugh, yo, because he know he like, man, that damn internet don't never mess up. I'm going to mess up tonight. You work out with Scorpio?
Yeah, I work out with Scorpio a little bit. He actually, Scorpio coached me back in 11th grade.
Oh, word? He was coaching then?
Oh, yeah.
That's what's he was. Man.
He ain't had no gray hair back then. I'm about to say, he getting old now.
Two sticks. Scorp still playing too, man.
Yeah, he is.
That's good stuff. Good stuff. Well, fam, we so appreciate you taking time for us tonight, brother. We want to, as we always do, we end our show with a segment called Shut the Hell Up, I'm Underdog. And what that is something that pisses you off, but you're going to overcome it anyway. I mean, I know you could say your internet, but what it's got to be something else. Go ahead, fam. Holler at him.
So something that pisses me off, be honest about it. My situation right now, I definitely feel like I should be on somebody's team. And something to overcome that. Hey, as soon as I get that call, I'm gonna show everybody why they made a mistake this year. I'm just sitting on it, but I'm definitely waiting. I'm definitely ready.
Mm. Mm. Talk spicy to him, as Hulk would say.
Hey,
I love it.
Let's stay on that theme. Hold on, I found it.
What you find, fam?
I already know what he's talking about. Oh.
Hold on, let me turn it up for the people in the background. Adding to his hold on. Preseason. Here's Smith. And he is dicked.
Chris Peace adding to his preseason sack total.
Preseason sack total. My man Chris Peace on the mission.
What's your son's name?
I mean, that says a lot, though, man. When you like, you got a viral video, man. I don't care.
For real. For real.
But we're going to get real. More, though. That ain't enough.
That ain't enough. What's your son's name, Chris?
Paris.
Paris. Okay.
Salute the young Paris, man.
Shout out. When is his birthday?
December 1st.
December 10th. That's what I'm talking about. Way.
December babies, baby.
Let's go.
Sacks. You're born in December, just for the record.
Mm-hmm. Because we know November babies are Valentine's Day babies, especially after the 14th.
I know that.
Yeah, if Scorpios are Valentine's Day babies, you know what I'm saying? I just like to, you know, educate people any way I can.
No doubt. Mm-hmm. No doubt. No doubt. Well, fam, we sure appreciate you,
baby. Hey, Hawk, you see that? Hey, I appreciate you having me on the job. I know Hawk did. You seen that Diggs video?
Who?
That Stephon Diggs.
Oh
video.
My God! Leave it in. You know I did. Oh,
leave it in, bro.
Man, leave it in, yo. He is legendary forever.
Celebrity Family Feud.
Yes.
Yo, I've leave never it seen that video
in. I died. I was like, wait, did he look like what? What?
Steve yeah, Harvey, that's how you know locker room talk came out. That was straight locker room talk.
Steve Harvey lost it, bro. That was hilarious.
Yeah, that was hilarious. Man. Well, hey, fam, because before we let you, Chris out of here, bro, you don't know Chris is like a pro sports GM. Like if you talk to him about players in the NBA and the NFL, he'll break it down for you. Like I made a joke, was talking that I said that Baker Mayfield was trash can juice, and I said Joe Burrow was in shallow water because it was early in the year. He let me have it. So every week now, he give me a recap of Joe Burrow.
Joe kind of balling, yeah.
He is.
Joe balling, man.
But that's Chris for you. Hey, Chris saw what I said, so every day I got to pay attention.
Because the only person I talk football, I said, for the record, Hawk is the only person I talk football with over the internet.
He is. But we don't do it in front of company, though. We always do it like direct messages. That's what's so funny. Right. Like we always hear like something or hear laugh, and that's my cue to let me check my DM because he gonna say something.
He done went in. All right, so that
him and Kobe, man.
Now I'm gonna be looking for y'all.
Oh. Chris like a goddamn, he like the Wizard of Oz. You just never know when he gonna pop up on you.
That's funny.
But yeah, man, let's let Chris up out here because his internet about to goddamn go on strike.
Yeah. He gotta go. I know Paris waiting for daddy. Paris waiting for daddy. So
yeah, Paris you know? Doing it. He pulling the damn router right now. Like, nah, daddy.
Yeah, he like, yeah, I'm doing that. Like P Squad is in the building.
Facts.
Well, fam, we so appreciate you, man. Bro, we always here. You know, we family, brother. We brotherhood, and that ain't never gonna change. And you need anything, you holler at us. I can open the door. Hawk can open the door for you. Make sure you know. Let us know, bro, things that you're interested in. We got the Wizard Locker Room Access back in the back. You know, T-Dub, he knows some folks. He on the West Coast.
You know a lot of folks.
So, you know, man, hey, just anytime you want to just politic, run some things past us, brother, we can help. You know we here. All right?
For sure. I appreciate y'all.
All right, yeah, dog. Love you, man. Love proud you of you. Sure. Keep doing for what sure. you do, dog.
For sure.
So, sure. Love y'all too. Y'all take care.
All right,
yeah,
bro.
No doubt. Well, fans, that is the end of this week's edition of The Lockdown featuring T Cove and the Ball Hawk.
That's a Ball Hawk call for the folks that wanted to be a Hawk call. That's a Ball Hawk call. I got to remind
them. Facts. We are out.